Thank you so much. All right. I want us to pray for the word this morning. I believe the Lord wants to speak to us. He wants to encourage us. Wherever you are, whether you're watching from home, I don't know which part of the country you're watching on. We greet you in the name of Jesus. Let us know where you're watching from. It will be great to know to whom God has been ministering to this morning. Glory be to God. Let's pray for the preaching of the word. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you this morning for your grace. We thank you that the entrance of your word brings light. It brings understanding to those of a simple heart. And so this morning, Holy Spirit of God, we pray that you would speak to us. We pray that you open our hearts and we are able to partake what God has in store for us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right. Are you ready to hear the word? Okay. I trust you're ready. But if you're not, I'm ready to preach. Amen. All right. Last week, we began to explore principles in the word through which we can get back our courage. We went into the Bible, went into the book of Psalm, chapter 27, and we're saying when you go through difficult times in your life, it is possible for you to be discouraged. But the desire of God is for you to get back your courage. The desire and the plan of God is for you to bounce back. It is for you to be resilient, to say, yes, I've hit the deck, but I'm not staying there. I'm rising up. Glory be to God, because that is the plan of God for you. Now, we learned that instead of David staying down on the ground, we found that David spoke to himself. David started declaring some powerful principles around how to gain, how to get back his courage. It was at that time that David was being pursued by Saul. Saul was going after David. He made a vow that I will not stop, I will not relent until I get him. There are certain circumstances and situations in our lives that seem to be so stubborn. You know, it could be a sickness in your body. It could be a relationship that seems not to be working. There's a level of stubbornness around this situation. And the intention of the enemy is to discourage you to a point where you're not able to face God in a place of faith. But we learn that David, instead of allowing the situation to put him in a spin, David stepped into a moment of declaration. And we found that the first thing that you need to do for you to bounce back, for you to regain your courage, you need to see God as your dependable guide and defense. You've got to see God as dependable when it comes to guiding you, leading you, putting light in front of you. Because sometimes when you are in those moments, it's impossible, it's virtually difficult to see tomorrow. But when God is your guide, you are able to look at tomorrow with hope. So David started declaring, says, the Lord is my light. The Lord is my salvation. The Lord is my stronghold. Whom shall I fear? Hallelujah. He said, the Lord is my stronghold. When I am found in God, I am preserved. Hallelujah. When I am found in God, I might not understand the next step, but I know that He guides me and He leads me. Hallelujah. So this is what David did. He made this declaration, the Lord is my light. The Lord is my salvation, and the Lord is my stronghold. Hallelujah. Now, I want us to further explore what David did in order to retain his courage in a season where it was difficult to remain positive. As David contemplated the end of his life, he was like, this army is coming after me. This army is really pursuing. Where shall I go? How am I going to survive or even evade to live to see one more day? You see, David, in that place, I don't know where he was located. Maybe he was up in the in one of the strongholds. He reminded himself of his past. David reminded himself where he had been. And this morning, I want you to realize that there's nothing that is as encouraging as being reminded of how you survived your past battles. I want you for a moment to think about the battles that you have fought and the battles that you have won. The problem with discouragement is this. It wants you to be dissatisfied by what happened yesterday. Discouragement would want you to look down and to despise the victories that you experienced yesterday. You see, the devil wants you to forget how the Lord protected you, how the Lord healed you from a cold. You see, we think it's a normal thing for us to be okay after having a cold. You see, the enemy would want you to minimize the works of God in your life. Have you prayed for something and God came through for you? Did you pray for somebody and that person got healed? Did you trust the Lord for protection as you were going through certain seasons and He did that for you? And this morning I want you to realize you will get back your courage when you remind yourself of past victories. The fact that you are alive today, that is good enough for you to say, Lord, you've been good to me. How many people have passed away in this season of COVID? In South Africa, I don't know, we are talking about 15, 16,000 people who have lost their lives. And right here, we've got people who have lost people who are close to them. But you are here today. I want you to count your blessings. You know that old time hymn that says, count your blessings one by one. And you'll be amazed by what God has been doing in your life. Hallelujah. Count your blessings. If you've got a roof over your head, count your blessings. If you ate something this morning, count your blessings. It might not have been English breakfast or the South African breakfast. I went for breakfast with my wife the other day and they said, do you want the South African breakfast? It's really a lot. It's a big breakfast. I'm not talking about that. If you had something in your tummy today, it's something to be grateful for. And David reminded himself of past victories. Now you hear him now in verse 2. He said, when the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. You see, at that point, the enemy Saul was still pursuing his life. And yet David reminded himself of what God had done for him in the past. He said, I remember back in the veld, I faced a lion, and God delivered me from the paws of the lion. I faced a bear, and the Lord delivered me. And He said, when my enemies came after me, they all stumbled and fell. And he was saying to himself, Saul will not be different. I want you to know that whatever you're facing now, it is facing the same God who delivered you yesterday. Hallelujah. He says, though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though the armies besiege me, my heart will not fear. My heart will not be afraid. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. He was not confident in his own ability. He was confident in the God who delivered him from Goliath. I'm sure when he was in that place, stronghold, he was thinking of how he faced Goliath. How Goliath was busy saying to him, do you think I'm a dog? You come to me with a sling, you come to me with this little bit, do you think I'm just a dog? And God came through for David. And David recollected all of these moments and he said, I have seen my enemies, my foes. I have seen them stumbling before, and God does not change. The Bible tells us that He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Glory be to God. I want somebody to be encouraged this morning. I want you to realize that God has not changed. Your circumstances might have changed. Your enemy might be bigger today. Your enemy might be stronger today, but God has not changed. Hallelujah. I want somebody to see this. You see, David, in Psalms 124, verse 1 to 5, I'm reading in the message. He says, if God had not been for us, if God had not been for you, where would you have been right now? Do you think, come on now, think with me. Were you so smart this past 6 months that you were able to evade anyone who was positive? Do you think you are very smart? Do you think your mask protected you in this past 6 months? No. If God had not been with us, we would have been part of the statistics. We would have mourned certain people in our midst. But the Lord was for us. He says there, if God hadn't been for us, altogether now Israel sing out. If God had not been for us when everyone went against us, we would have been swallowed alive by their violent anger, swept away by the flood of rage, drowned in the torrent. We would have lost our lives in the wild, raging water. So David pronounced God as his guide, pronounced God as the one who took him out of the paws and the teeth of bears, and he said, he will deliver me even now. May the Lord remind you today of your childhood, how he preserved you, how he protected you. And today we can stand in a place where we can say, my Lord is alive and my tomorrow is secured. Hallelujah. Now David continues, and we catch him now in verse 4 of Psalm 27. He says there, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I ask. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that will I pursue, that will I run after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. One thing have I desired of the Lord. What is it that you are desiring of the Lord this morning? I find that very strange, that in a moment where David should be fasting and praying and crying for protection, he said, forget about my safety, forget about my physical status. There is one thing that I want. That one thing will I seek after. That one thing will I pursue with everything within me. His request was just to be in the presence of God. That was his heart's cry. What is your heart's cry this morning? Would you be like David to forget about what's happening around you, the turmoil and all the confusion, to say, only if I can be in the house of God. Only if I can just behold his glory. Only if I can have a prophetic dream tonight, Lord. Now, this tells me one thing, that one way of getting back your courage is to pursue the presence of God. Whatever you do, it's okay to increase the security of your house. It's okay to get monitoring, to get national security. But I want you to know, if you can cry out for the presence of God to take over your house, you are better secured than being protected by a security company. Hello, somebody. David knew something that most people don't. In your time of trouble, you don't run away from God. You run to God. One of the things I've realized, many people run away from God when they're in trouble, when things are not well, when they're discouraged. We forsake our spiritual disciplines. Now, it is as if David is telling you and I that one way to regain your composure, your peace, is to locate yourself in the presence of God. One way of regaining your composure and your peace, it is to be located in the presence of God. I can testify to that. I can tell you this morning that whenever I am troubled, I force myself into the presence of God by taking longer in prayer, speaking in a new tongue, and by the time I come out of that closet, something lifts. Something comes off my shoulder. I start seeing my world with a different lens. Why? Because I was in the presence of the Maker of the heavens and the earth. Hallelujah. Somebody this morning needs to realize that when you are stuck in the presence of God, you regain your confidence. You are able to speak to yourself with confidence. Hallelujah. In the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy. And on his right hand side, there are pleasures forevermore. Glory be to God. Young people, I want you to realize that when you are facing your exams, I know some of you are busy writing, or maybe you are done right now. When you wake up in the morning and you talk to God, even for 1 minute, to say, Lord, I'm writing today. May you please help me. When you do that, you receive a sense of assurance that he is with you. Hallelujah. Psalm 61 verse 2, David declares and says, from the end of the earth, I will cry out to you When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. When my heart is overwhelmed, when my heart is heavy, when I don't see a better future, I've come to realize that a lot of young people, young children, get stressed by small things. Okay? When they're not sure what will happen, when mommy is running late, they get stressed. It is in that time where you say, lead me to that rock. Lead me to that presence. Lead me to that place where I can behold the glory of God. Hallelujah. You see, David says, one thing I have desired, and that I will seek, that I may be found in the house of God. You see, the tabernacle was symbolic of the presence of God. It was where the presence of God was found. Now, today, we are different. We don't need to run to church to experience the presence of God. You are a carrier of the Holy Spirit. You are a carrier of the presence of God. So wherever you are, you can tap into the presence of God. I'm talking about practicing the presence of God. You see, the presence of God brings perspective to your current situation. And this results in you regaining your courage. This, you're able to regain your courage. In Psalm 16, verse 11, David again says, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. And at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. You're looking for pleasure? Go into the presence of God. Hallelujah. You're looking for joy? Go into the presence of God. When you are heavy inside of you, go into the presence of God. Because there is fullness of joy. Now, I want you to realize that as he was declaring that I want to be in the presence of God, there was a sense of assurance and a sense of confidence that came back upon David. If that happened to David, it will happen to you. Glory be to God. In verse 5, he says, for in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. May the Lord help us to run to God in our times of trouble. Because that is where we are hidden. You see, when you are hidden in the presence of God, the enemy will not be able to locate you. The reason why the enemy can easily locate some of us, it is because we are playing in his turf. I want to repeat that. The reason why the devil can easily locate you, it is because you are playing tango with him. When he wants you to get angry, you get angry. When he wants you to be bitter, you become bitter. When he wants you to scream and shout, you do exactly what he says you do. You do. And therefore he locates you. That is why Jesus said, the God of this world is pursuing me, but he has not found anything in me that is of him. In me, I have nothing of the devil, and therefore he cannot touch me. The Bible says, do not give the devil a foothold. When he was talking about get angry, but do not allow the sun to go down in your anger, lest you give the devil a foothold, an opportunity to hook you in. David says here, when I'm hidden in the presence of God, the enemy cannot locate me. Are we together this morning? How do you get back your courage? The presence of God. Find yourself in the presence of God. If the church can get that right, you would realize that a lot of the problems that we have, you will see them with the correct perspective because of the presence of God. Now, David takes us deeper into how he regains his courage. He teaches us that if for you to regain your courage, you need to develop a lifestyle of praise. For you to regain your courage, you need to develop a lifestyle. I'm talking about a habit of praise. I'm talking about having it as a second nature to you to praise the Lord. And why am I saying this? When you look at verse 6 of Psalm 27, he says, and now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies around about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. He was in trouble, but he says, I will praise the Lord. I will exalt his name. In his tabernacle, I will offer sacrifices of joy. You see, a sacrifice is something that costs you. A sacrifice is something that will cause you to feel uncomfortable. Because when you are sacrificing something, somebody has to die. You see, sacrificing an animal, the animal has to die. So when we are talking about you sacrificing and giving joy, a joyous celebration unto the Lord, your flesh does not want you to praise. But when you understand the power of praise, you tap into that. We see David breaking into some praise whilst facing a huge threat. Have you been there before? Where a song wells up in your spirit, man, and your kids hear you singing, but they know there is trouble. Hello, somebody. Your friends hear you singing in your car, and yet they know you are faced with retrenchment. Your family knows that you are sick in your body, and yet there is a song that comes on your lips. You are offering a sacrifice of praise. And I want you to know that whenever we do that before God, it comes like a sweet incense in his nostrils. And that moves God. Hallelujah. When we praise God in our moment of challenges, it moves heaven on our behalf. And David understood that. And said, in your tabernacle, I will offer a sacrifice of praise. You see, I want you to realize that praise turns the attention away from you to another. Praise turns attention away from your circumstances to God. You see, when you praise somebody, it's not about you, it's about them. And this is what David is telling us. That when you are in trouble, remove the attention from you and give it to where it is due. Give your attention to the one who is able to change your circumstances. So many times we are fixated by our situation that we forget the one who is able to change our moments. And David says, I will offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. Even though there is social distancing, I expect a people who came out of COVID-19 to come into a church like this and say, I will celebrate, I will dance until they look at me funny. And I say, you don't know where I've been. That is why you don't understand. I will dance because I know what I went through last night. I wasn't supposed to be alive today, but I'm alive today. And for that reason, I will celebrate. I will exalt the name Jehovah. You see, somebody will sit back because they haven't been through your fire. When you've been through your waters, you will worship God as if it's your last day. You see, praise is associated with exalting somebody. It is associated with glorifying somebody, magnifying somebody. It's like think about your daughter when she has done a cake. I have a daughter who loves baking. And when she does those kind of things, we need to shower her with the praise. When we shower her with the praise, guess what? Next week she'll bake again. Because she remembers that daddy said, ooh, your cookies are so delicious. She remembers that all the time, and that becomes a motivator. Now, if you praise somebody and it triggers an emotion in that person, how much more the King of Glory? When you say, Jehovah, you are worthy to be praised. Right now, my body is sick, but Lord, you are good. Hallelujah. He will move on your behalf because of praise. I want you to realize this morning that when we praise the Lord, we are recognizing and appreciating and giving him all the glory that is due to him. There's a preacher by the name of Andrew Womack. He said the following about praise. He said, praise affects you. It affects the devil. And it affects God. It touches everything and every part of your life. Likewise, a lack of praise affects you in a negative way. It turns the devil loose in your life and doesn't bless God. For that reason, you have to get this area of your life right. When you go buy music on iTunes, what do you buy? These days is Jerusalem, Jerusalem,
Jerusalem.
And I'm like, do you even know why he was singing that? Do you even understand where he says, Ikayalami? Which Jerusalem is he talking about? We just love the beat. Hello, somebody. I don't have a problem with that song. I'm just saying that we need to pay attention to what we feed ourselves with. You see, when you feed yourself with praise, with songs that glorifies God, I want you to know that praise doesn't make God any bigger. God is big already, but when you praise God, God is made bigger in your heart. You understand the whole issue of praise? It's not as if when I say, God, you are a big God, he gets bigger. No, he's already big. But when I say, Lord, you are a big God, you see, in my heart, he gets increased. Hallelujah. And I'm able to see him working on my behalf. In that moment of praising God, my mountain becomes very small because he's a great God. Hallelujah. David understood this. You see, a life full of praise is a reflection of a healthy spiritual life. When you're full of praise, it tells me that your spirit man is healthy. Your spirit man is aware of God. Your spirit man is paying attention to the Most High God. Hallelujah. You see, Paul wrote the Philippians from a prison and he says, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always, not sometimes. And again I say rejoice. Where was he writing this from? From a prison. And yet he was saying, people, I am chained, but the gospel I preach is not in chains. I am in chains, but I know that the word is going further through my chains. He was saying, through my imprisonment, the Roman Empire is getting to know the truth. And therefore, we're saying, through your trouble, praise the Lord. The Bible says, we give thanks to the Lord in every situation. Whatever you are going through right now, it is a reason for you to give praise to the Lord. Can I hear an amen this morning? Hallelujah. You see, praise loosens heaven. I'm reminded of King Jehoshaphat, how he was facing three mighty armies. And he went on a fast and said, Lord, we don't know what to do. These guys are so big and stronger than us. And God spoke back to him and said, just put worshippers in front. Let them worship me. And the Bible says, as they were worshipping, tambourines were going on, harps were going on, trumpets were going on. And the Bible says, there was a huge confusion in the enemy camp. When the people of God step the gear up of praise, the enemy gets confused. Hallelujah. The enemy does not understand what is happening. It is because of praise. I'm reminded of Jericho, how Jericho fell because of the trumpets. The Bible says, you must go around these walls 7 times. And on the 7th time, you go 7 times. And at the end of it all, release a great shout, and you will see the miracle of the Lord. Literally, the earth had to give way for this wall to go in. I want you to know this morning that when we give God praise, the heavens will fight on our behalf. Paul and Silas, we know that story. It was not because they said, we're going to now praise for us to experience victory. No, it was their habit to worship. It was their lifestyle to worship. You've got to make praise as a habit. The same way it has become habitual for you to watch Netflix every Saturday night. Okay. Does somebody hear me this morning? Make it a habit. Make it a habit. Listen to me. We praise God for what he did yesterday. We praise God for what he's doing today. We praise God for what he will do tomorrow. We praise God for what he has not done. And we praise him for who he is. Hallelujah. Either way, we're going to praise him. Whether the devil thinks that nothing is going on, we will worship him for who he is. Hallelujah. Some of us need to praise him for not answering certain prayers. Have you ever thought of that? You see, hindsight is 20/20 vision. Hey, you look back and you're like, oh, Lord, thank you for not answering that prayer. Because if you had answered that prayer, my life would have been in a mess. But he knows better. We thank God because He knows what is good for us. Hallelujah. You see, God will always answer your prayers. It's either He remains quiet for a season, or He says yes, or He says no. He says, call unto me and I will answer you. And I will show you great and mighty things that you did not know. Jeremiah 33 verse 3. We need to call upon the name of Jesus. So either way, we have a reason to worship God. We have a reason to praise Him for what He did yesterday. If He hasn't done anything today, we've got yesterday to praise for. Hallelujah. If He hasn't done anything today, we praise Him in advance in anticipation of His goodness to be shown in our lives. You see, Habakkuk 3:17. Though the fig tree shall not blossom, and fruit is not on the vines, the labor of the olive fails, and the field yield no food, the flock is cut off from the fold, and no herd is in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in Jehovah. I will joy in the God of my salvation. And yet, I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. I want somebody to understand this morning that even if God has not given you a car, the fact that you're born again today, there is a reason for you to praise Him. Because if we go home today, we don't take our vehicles. We don't take our homes. But we're going to meet Him in heaven. That is why we're singing earlier on, come Lord Jesus, come. Maranatha, Maranatha, Maranatha. When He comes today, if He comes today, am I ready to see Him? Are you ready to meet the King of Glory? Now, from praising God, David makes a shift. I find him, he's going in and out, and he teaches us another principle. Go with me to verse 7. So he's done with praising. He's teaching you, you've got to praise God. You've got to magnify the King of Glory. But don't stop there. Don't stop moving. Verse 7, he says, yeah, O Jehovah, when I cry with my voice and have mercy on me and answer me, I sense a level of desperation here. He says, Lord, please hear me when I cry. Please hearken unto my prayers. Old King James Version English. Hearken unto my prayers. My heart says to you, seek my face. Your face, O Jehovah, I will seek. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger. You've been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me. O God of my salvation. Can you sense the heart of this man? Can you sense this man? He's saying, unless you come, I am not enough. Unless you are with me, I cannot make it. And he's crying out to Jehovah here. So we see David breaking into another dimension. And he's telling you and I, in order to regain your courage, be persistent in prayer. Be persistent in prayer. There's nothing that beats prayer. If you can give me that slide. Be persistent in prayer. Every child of God needs to understand that God responds to prayer. You can be emotional. There's nothing wrong with crying. There's nothing wrong with throwing your pens and toys all over. But what moves heaven is prayer. Nothing else. Now listen to me. A combination of prayer and praise will get you back your courage. When you combine these two, man, you'll get a result. You see, you pray until something happens. David did not forsake prayer in his time of discouragement. And the devil wants to reason you out of prayer. You know, the devil will start telling some of you, you've been praying for this matter for a long time. What makes you think that he'll answer this time around? Have you been there? Where the enemy will reason you out and say, you've been asking, but nothing has happened. Do you know that prayer does not change God? Prayer changes you to align you with the will of God. I've seen my prayers and what I'm asking shifting like the waters of the seas. I start off very passionate about something. God, this is what I want. This is what I want. This is what I want. Lord, if you do this, I'll do this. But as I pray, as I keep on praying, I realize that my prayers changes. And then Psalm 37 kicks in. The desires of the righteous shall be granted. When you put yourself in God in prayer, he works on your heart. And he plants his desires in your heart. And when his desires are fully formed in your heart, boom, it comes through. In the way that he wants it to come. I'm talking about being persistent in prayer. The Bible teaches us to be persistent in prayer at all times. It says, pray without ceasing. Pray at all times. There's a portion of scripture that teaches us that. I'm just going to read it because it just speaks to this matter. Luke 18, verse 1 to 8. Luke 18, verse 1 to 8. Pray without ceasing. How long have you been praying for? How long have you been on your knees? Are you tired? Are you weary? But God is telling us today, keep on praying. Keep on praying. The Bible says, then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with a plea, grant me justice against my adversary. Vindicate me against my enemies. Verse 4. For some time he refused. But finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me. Other versions say so that she doesn't drive me crazy. Verse 6. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you. Other versions say, surely I say to you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Your level of faith will help you to keep on praying. Keep on praying. I'm reminded of the woman Hannah who prayed who had no child. And she cried out to God until Samuel was given to her. Hallelujah. I want to encourage somebody today, don't give up on prayer. Because prayer is what moves heaven. Prayer is what causes God to move on our behalf. The last thing that I want us to deal with this morning. You see, you've got to learn to speak to yourself. I read Psalm 42 and I saw how many times David was saying, my soul, why art thou downcast in thyself? Put your hope in God. You've got to be able to speak to your emotions. You've got to stand at some point and speak to yourself and say, really, does God, doesn't he care for me? You've got to remind yourself of what God has done in your life. And now David sums up everything by choosing to believe that he will see the goodness of God. This is the last point. Believe that you will see the goodness of the Lord. Hello, somebody. Whatever you're going through, whatever your situation is, you've got to realize that there's only one permanent thing in your life, and that is God. Everything else is temporary. Everything else is passing by. Hallelujah. The world and everything that we see will pass away, but his word will remain forever. Hallelujah. I want you to realize this morning that you will see the goodness of the Lord. Your pain will go at some point. You'll be able to laugh again. Right now, it doesn't feel like it's possible for you to put a proper smile, a genuine smile, because it has been tough. I want you to know that you will smile once again. Hallelujah. Verse 13 of Psalm 27 says, I would have lost heart. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Other version says, I would have been discouraged had I not believed that I'll see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I would have lost heart. I would have committed suicide had I not believed that I'll see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Hallelujah. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, you will face tomorrow. Because He lives, the future of your children are guaranteed. Your dreams will become a reality. I would have lost heart. I would have lost heart unless I had believed. Somebody needs to start believing that my troubles are not permanent. My issues are not forever. My God will come through for me. Unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord. What are you facing today? Your God is more permanent than what you're facing. Your God is stronger than your enemies right now. The word of God is stronger than any word that has been spoken against you. It doesn't matter what they have uttered over your life. When you put the word of God into your system, it will throw away every negative word. Whatever curse has been spoken over your life, Jesus became a curse on your behalf. The Bible tells me that cursed is every man who hangs on a tree. Jesus was hanging on the tree for you. I would have been discouraged if I had not believed that this church would survive the coronavirus. I would have been discouraged if I had not believed that the one who planted this church will build it, He will look after it. Whatever you have right now, if it came from God, He will maintain what He gave you. So what do we say? Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Come on now, let's stand on our feet. You can just raise this song. I want somebody to talk to the Lord. I would have been discouraged had I not believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. In the land of the living, not in the land of the dead. In your day, you will see the promises of God becoming a reality. In your day, you will see your children doing well in the name of Jesus. In your day, you will get married. If you are looking and trusting God for marriage, in your day, He will do it. In your day you will see peace in your marriage. In the name of Jesus. In your day you will get that job that you are crying out for. In your day that business will become a reality. In your day you will have enough money in your account in the name of Jesus. Yes, we declare this morning that you will get that job. The doors will open in the name of Jesus. The doors will open in the name of Jesus. Yes, you will get healing in your body. The Lord will heal you. The Lord will deliver you. Your fears will not happen in your life. Oh yes, Lord, we proclaim today, we would have been discouraged. We would have been discouraged. We would have lost our hearts had we not believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Father, we proclaim and we declare this morning that we will not throw in the towel. We will continue trusting You, believing You, Father, that You will come through for us, that You will make a way for us, Lord, that You are able, Father, in the name of Jesus. Oh, yes, Again he says, behold, I'm doing something new. Behold, I'm doing something new. I'm making a way in the wilderness. Behold, I'm making something new in your life. Forget about the past. I'm about to do something new. Jesus, we thank you this morning.